You know, this must have happened to so many pastors who had to preach right after 9/11. I swear I don't know how they did it. My friend John Walton, who is a mentor and supervisor back when I was an intern in seminary, is the pastor of First Pres on Fifth Avenue in New York City, which is right down the street from St. Vincent's Hospital, which it's where they took so many of the victims of 9/11, and that church became a sanctuary for people running away from the chaos. And I don't know how people do this. I've never had the occasion to have to preach on the day of something that has felt so devastating to me personally. You know, a year ago, on June 17th, when Dylan Roof shot 9 African-American worshipers, or people who were in Bible study at Mother Emmanuel in Charleston, we would not have blamed one African-American person who wanted to talk from the pulpit, for sure, about racism. But it's funny about being a gay person. When we want to talk about the hatred of gay and lesbian people, we often get people rolling their eyes. Do you have to talk about that again? My friend Victor, who's on the staff at Calvary, has told me that every time he preaches, there are 2 or 3 people who come up to him and say, "Do you have to talk about gay stuff?" And he says, "But I am gay stuff. You know, this is my life. I have to talk about it." Well, whoever Omar Mateen is, it appears that he has killed 50 people. At least, I'm sure that some of those who are in the hospital now in Orlando will die. His father said he had no idea that this was in the planning, though clearly it was in the planning, for Omar showed up at this gay club. His father didn't know about this, but he did know that he had seen 2 men kissing and that it had outraged him. So whether this is an act of terrorism that comes out of ISIS or some Islamic fundamentalist group, we don't know yet, but it is certainly about hatred toward gay and lesbian people. I had thought today that I was going to talk about gratitude, and it's really hard. I don't know if I could pull this off. but we must say that even in the face of such terror, there are things that we must do for our own sanity. And that is to find places in our own lives and in that spiritual place where we find a home that we can feel gratitude. So let me read this very brief thing that has to do with the issue of gratitude. Our message must speak to a nation where, whether we like it or not, more than 90% of people asked say they believe in God. I have a practical problem with Christianity. Also, I have a theological problem. Our usual way of describing ourselves as Christians doesn't even begin to suggest what we might mean when we talk about religion. We say that to be Christian is to agree, at least in principle, with the Apostles' Creed. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus as Christ, etc., are a religion to us. And when a lot of those 90% of people who say they believe in God hear us say that we are Christian, they will say, I can't stand religion. Maybe we need to learn to talk about religion in a new way. In my view, religion is constituted of two distinct but related impulses, a sense of awe and a sense of obligation. The feeling of awe comes from our experience of the grandeur of life and of maybe even a sense of mystery about whether there is a divine or not. This feeling becomes religious when we feel a sense of obligation, when obligation lays claim to us and we feel a duty larger than ourselves that in theological terms means transcendence. And when transcendence may be a belief in God, when transcendence leads to something we might call discipleship. The idea of faith as a discipline may sound weird to some of us. Faith is so incredibly personal. I'm not much for discipline, actually. But faith, we always say from Scripture, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Well, surely that's part of us as a Christian community. But unless our faith is simply an intellectual activity, the defining element of faith must be practice of some kind, action of some kind. But what kind of practice? For Jews, the defining discipline is obedience. To be a faithful Jew is to obey the commands of God. For Muslims, the defining discipline is submission. To be a faithful Muslim is to submit to the will of Allah. For Christians, we probably say that the defining discipline of Christianity is love. To be a faithful Christian is to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So what is your defining religious discipline? Is it prayer in the morning or scripture reading? Is it that love for your neighbor as yourself kind of guides your behavior? I don't know about you, but sometimes that loving your neighbor as yourself is really tough. First, telling me to love people I don't like, how can I love them if I don't love myself? Well, for a lesbian recovering drug addict who, for most of her life, thought she wasn't worth much, loving ourselves as our neighbor has always been a rough point. It might serve to say, love your neighbor better than you love yourself. But then we get into that convoluted stuff about how can I love my neighbor if I don't love myself, etc., etc. Well, what should be our defining religious discipline? If that straight-up love of your neighbor thing escapes you, while obedience and love and submission may play a part in our religious discipline and the role of faith in my life, my current conviction is that we would be well served if we pointed our spiritual and religious obligation to gratitude. We who are way long into our lives as participating Christians, we hear that love your neighbor as yourself thing. It kind of rolls off my back every time I hear it. It's, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. I've heard it so much that it kind of gets lost on me. In the same way that Judaism is defined by obedience and Christianity by love and Islam by submission, I believe that spirituality, the stuff of which those supposed non-religious believers in God speak, gratitude. And maybe that's how we need to talk to those non-religious spiritual folks. Gratitude. Why gratitude? One has to do with a discipline of gratitude, and the other has to do with an ethic of gratitude. The discipline of gratitude reminds us how utterly dependent we are on the people and the world around us for everything that matters. Every time I hear Larry and this organ, I feel grateful. I am utterly dependent on this choir. I am utterly dependent on others for that lift that I feel every Sunday morning when I come here. I'm utterly dependent on my car, which allows me to go places and do things that my grandparents would never, ever have imagined. I feel touched by that car. I know this sounds a little bit silly, perhaps, but this constancy of gratitude is a discipline of recognizing our dependency. And the ethic of gratitude flows from that sense of dependency. It's an ethic that obligates me to participate in the creation of the future based on that feeling of gratitude that warm feeling that makes me want to return the favor. When I feel grateful, I want to return the favor. The two forms gratitude takes in our lives, a discipline and an ethic, are natural outcomes of the two elements of religious experience that we hear from philosophers from day one: awe and obligation. The experience of awe leads to the discipline of gratitude, and the experience of obligation leads to an ethic of gratitude. You who have known me for a little while know that I've stopped calling myself a Christian. At least I won't call myself a Christian, except if I can put an asterisk on that, and let me explain to you what I mean. Oh, maybe this is simply about my 1960-ish difficulty with authority and institutions, or maybe having spent too much time studying theology and going to seminary, and seeing Christianity as having little to do with Jesus and everything to do with earthly powers from Constantine on down. Or maybe it's just that, with the exception of the last few years, my LGBT brothers and sisters and I have had to beg to be included. But you know how it is. You want something for so long, and then you finally get it, and you wonder why you wanted it so much. I wanted to point out, I forgot to mention, that all the leaders in worship today, George, who will be praying, Robin, who is our liturgist, Larry, who's back there, and me, we're all gay people. We are all people who have survived the church and managed to stay. When all else fails, when the church seems continually to be dismissive of women and other minorities, when the only people still trying to deny equal protection under the law of gay people are Christians, somehow my gratitude remains. Love as a discipline is tricky. And today, more than any day in recent memory, loving our enemies, I can't pull it off today. Christ called us to do this even if we should happen to hate our enemies. Okay, well, loving our enemies is an ideal, and I don't know that too many of us are really very good at it. Someone, something way outside of myself is required for me to love my enemies. I don't seem to be very much in touch with that today. Gratitude? It takes nothing of the divine for me to feel gratitude. It's appreciation for you. It's appreciation for this building, for this city. It's a feeling of goodwill. It's a desire to do something in return. Maybe this is splitting hairs for some of you, but gratitude starts with my ears and my eyes. The beauty of the earth, whether or not it is divinely created, I appreciate it. The music coming from these pipes, it was humans who made these pipes. It is talent, God-given or not, that makes those sounds come through those pipes and through those voices. I don't have to believe in God. I don't have to ascribe to the divinity of Jesus to feel gratitude for those things. And maybe that's what we need to tell those people who say they are spiritual but not religious. That gratitude is a great place to be. And who knows where that gratitude may lead? These sights and these sounds of this world don't belong to me, but I want to make sure that they're there when others want them. Let me return to what I said at the beginning. Maybe there are those of you who don't hear from people regularly who say that they are spiritual but not religious. Well, I hear it all the time. In the gay and lesbian community, so many people have been hurt by organized religion and yet maintain a sense of spirituality. It's a miracle. And what we have to offer them is that gratitude is a great place to be. And maybe they will find God in that gratitude. Maybe they won't. Maybe their spirituality is okay right where it is, appreciating nature, seeing the universe in terms scientific. There's gratitude. When people find out that I am a clergy person, you would not believe what they say to me, especially in the LGBT community at the dog park. They will tell me amazing stories about how they have been kicked out, abused, excommunicated by churches who have nurtured them, who have loved them, and who now kick them out. I find transcendence and beauty in nature, a friend said, and in the love of my dog. As I've become more comfortable with talking about an ethic of gratitude, that is okay if you can't find your way into the church or into a Christian ethic of love or a Muslim ethic of obedience. I'm getting some good feedback from those dog park folks. They say I vote because I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I live in the United States. I pick up garbage on the street because I want others to see San Francisco the way I see it. I escort the woman with the cane across the street on Cole Street because I want her to be an active part of the neighborhood that I love. So if when you think about that Christian ethic of loving your neighbor as yourself and you feel like it's a task that's too big, gratitude is a place to start. And maybe even some optimism. You know how Maggie got us to pull out words that are on little stars at the beginning of the year and ask us to just put them someplace where we'll see it all the time, every year? Last year, the word I got was production. And it made me focus on getting things done. It was really interesting how that word would keep coming up over and over again. But this year, the word was optimism for me. I'm such a cynic. To have someone stick that word into my hand has caused me over and over again to look at my own cynicism and be glad that I have a deep sense of gratitude for this church, for this congregation, for this city, and for this love that lingers in my heart, even when I'm not sure where it comes from, where I'm not sure how to label it. If the joy of gratitude is what you can bring to the day, that's good enough. Amen.